Hallelujah. Can you say with assurance this morning that you are no longer a slave to fear, but that you are a child of God? Hallelujah. Put your hand up. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And the reason we can say that with confidence and with assurance is that Jesus paid the price. He paid the penalty for our sins and died on the cross that you and I could have eternal life. And this morning, we can walk in it with assurance. If anyone in the past has told you that you cannot know if you're saved, that you can only hope, that's a false teaching, because the Bible teaches very clearly that we can know without a shadow of a doubt whether or not we have been saved, born again, washed in the blood, and stand pure before God and holy before God. So I too welcome you here this morning to this part of the fellowship to open the Word and look at it and glean from it, learn from it. And I believe that God has a thing to say to us this morning. And just looking back again and remembering last weekend, as Dave shared too, remembering Easter and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It's just a beautiful time. I hope it was a good time for you. I hope it was a good time of reflecting what happened and the price that was paid and what we owe to our Savior and to our God. We were all deserving of death, every one of us. There's not one that stands innocent except for the blood of Jesus before the Almighty God. So this morning, looking at moving ahead into our communion service tonight, I felt like it would be a good time again this morning to do a time of reflection, of reflecting on our spiritual lives, or reflecting on where we're at with the Lord. What does it look like? And I titled the message, Cleansing the Temple. So you can probably guess about where I'm going with this message. And you can turn to John chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 14 through 17 and Matthew 21, 12 through 14. But just looking at this whole idea of reflecting and looking at our lives and taking the time, you know, it's springtime and we started to open up the windows and put screens in. And so this week I washed a screen and put in my study window and there's house cleaning that needs to be done after the winter. You ladies know all about spring house cleaning, getting the windows open, getting the dust out, getting fresh air in. There's house cleaning that needs to happen. And it's rightly so, because we can accumulate over time as we live in a place, or our vehicles sometimes can look like just a place of trash. And so once in a while, it just takes time to clean out the clutter, to get rid of things. And I'm reminded of the story that Ken Davis tells of how that he walked into his daughter's bedroom and he met cockroaches and mice walking out with suitcases saying, "We can't live like this." And I wonder sometimes, what are we doing with the clutter that is in our spiritual lives? What are we doing to the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit is coming in to our spiritual lives and there's just full of clutter, what is the Spirit saying? Is he saying, "I can't live like this"? Is it a possibility? I was, so Louis, he's got his winter coat on and it's time to shed that winter coat. So that he's at a place where there's starting to get a lot of shedding. And yesterday morning, he came in and I took a brush and I started brushing him and collecting a lot of hair. But first of all, he was rubbing against a corner and started to see the hair piling up on the side of him. And I took this brush and started brushing him and he didn't like that one bit. And he attacked the brush and bit into it and then he was spitting hair out of it, out of his mouth. But spring cleaning sometimes, or getting rid of the clutter sometimes, is not pleasant. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes getting rid of the clutter can become a little bit irritating or painful even. So after I was done brushing him there, I noticed there was a little tick crawling around on the floor that he had brought. He's treated, so the ticks, they hang on to him and they come inside and there was a tick crawling around on the floor. So there was definitely some clutter that needed to be removed from Louis. And I thought about how our lives can be the same way. In 1 Corinthians 11:28 is a scripture that I usually read at our communion service, and it says this, 1 Corinthians 11:28-29, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body," taking for granted what God did, taking for granted that God sent his son to die. And when we do that, when we take communion in an unworthy manner, not giving honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, then I believe it brings damnation to us. And another is the thought came to me as I thought about this whole thing, and I thought about how that Jesus' zeal for the house of the Lord, which is mentioned in one of these scriptures that I'm going to read here in John 2:17, it says that zeal for your house has eaten me up, and it's quoted from Psalms. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. And I thought, and I want, I'm going here before I read the scripture because I want you to listen to the scripture in light of the fact that our bodies are the temple of the Lord. And that the temple that Jesus went into was a physical temple of brick and mortar, a rock building. But today, where does Christ dwell? It's you and I. We are the temple of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says this, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So we are the temple of the Lord. And as we look at this scripture, and I wonder, does Jesus have the same zeal for the cleansing of the temple that he had for the building that he does for our lives? Do you think he does? I think he does. I think he desires that the temple be clean, that it be a place of prayer and praise and worship. I believe that's what God wants for us. And when it's full of clutter, when it's full of things and stuff that are not honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, then it cannot be that place that God wants it to be. And there's some cleaning that needs to happen. So if you will look with me at John chapter 2, we'll begin at verse 13. It says, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business." And now I'm just going to pause there for a moment. I want you to watch carefully and listen carefully to this scripture and then compare it to the one I read in Matthew. "And doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold the doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise.' And then his disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up.' And so the Jews answered and said to him, 'What sign do you show us since you do these things?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then the Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?' Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, verse 21, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said." And then if we'll turn to Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17, I think it is, yeah. Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17. "Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" Think again, thinking that our bodies, our spiritual beings are the temple of the Lord. And he said, "It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them after the cleansing. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, I have. Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. And so, as we look at these here two scriptures, one of the things that it seems to be evident is that it appears to be that this was that these happenings were two different happenings. In other words, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all reference that this cleansing of the temple that happened in Matthew was right after Jesus had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But in John, it appears like it's right after the wedding, the feast at Cana, when he turned the water into wine, is when this would have happened there. So whether or it is or isn't, but most of the commentaries would agree that it appears like it was two different incidents where Jesus actually went in and cleansed the temple. And it's interesting that one of them was at the beginning of his ministry and the other one was at the end of his ministry, that he would have did the same thing where his zeal for the temple, his zeal for the house of God to be a place of prayer and worship was incredible. He wanted that. And I believe that's what he wants for you and I today. And as we take a look at our lives, and we take a look at where we're at, what do we find? How do you find yourself? When you look into the temple that God has, that you are, when you look into that temple, how do you find it? Is it a place of prayer and praise and worship? Is it a place with a love for money? That's what was happening. They were changing money. They were bringing in doves and pigeons and sheep and goats and stuff for the people to buy in the temple to offer for their sins. And they were putting an incredible price on them to the point where the poor people couldn't even buy these things, these animals to sacrifice for the atonement for their sin. God never intended there to be a price for us to pay for the atonement of our sin because Jesus paid that price. Hallelujah. Jesus paid that price. That price is paid, and it is free to all who are open to ask and to receive and to repent. And that's what Jesus wanted. So do you find in your heart, as you look at your place today, your temple, what do you find there? Is it a place of praise and worship? Is it a place of prayer? Or is it a place that's about making money? Is it a place, and one of the other things that I was going to point out in Matthew, the account in Matthew was that after Jesus cleansed the temple, there was the lame and the blind that came to him to be healed in the temple. And I wonder today, is your temple a place of praise and prayer and worship that when it's seen, people want to be healed, they come to you for healing? And is your temple a place of bringing healing to people? Or is it a place that's wounding people? Is it a place that's taking advantage of people? Or is your temple a place that is a place of healing, a place where Jesus is able to work through you to the people around you? Are you able to offer healing? Are you able to walk alongside of someone and put your arm around them? Or is your temple filled with bitterness? Is it a place of self-sacrifice? Is it a place of lust and cheating and self-indulgence? What does your temple look like this morning is the question that I believe God is asking. What is your temple, my temple? What does it look like this morning? Is it a place of praise and worship and prayer? Or is it a place of self-sacrifice? Or a place of lust? These people were coming in and their lust for money was shown through in the temple where they were buying and selling and making a profit and the money was rolling in. It was a marketplace is what it was. It had turned into a place of merchandise, a place of merchants. They were cheating. They were cheating the people because the people came and they knew they had to make their sacrifices and they cheated them out of the money that was theirs. And it was all for self-indulgence. They didn't care about the people. They didn't care that the people had a dove to offer for their sacrifice. And I wonder this morning, what is your temple like? Is your temple a place that is of a concern for other people? When Jesus went in and he cleansed that temple, It is only when the temple is cleansed of all other priorities that we can be effective for the kingdom of God. It is only when the temple is cleansed of all other priorities that we can be effective for the kingdom of God. And we can fill that temple with good things this morning. There is no doubt about it. We can fill the temple with busyness. We can fill the temple with doing a lot of things, a lot of stuff. And after a while, we are of no effect. And the story is told, and I think it tells it well. The story is told of a lumberjack. Okay, this is a story, not a truth. This is a story. There was a lumberjack that was getting a job. And he got his job, and he went out, and he took his axe, and he started cutting trees. And he, with passion, cut trees. And the first day, he cut down 18 trees. And he went in, and he reported to his boss, and he had cut down the 18 trees. And the boss said, good job. That was good, hard work. And so the next day, this lumberjack went out again, and with the boss's encouragement, and he was feeling vigorous to get out there and cut down some more trees. He went out that day, and he cut down trees, and he came in at the end of the day, and he only had 15 trees. He doesn't understand. He worked harder than he did yesterday. And the next day, he went out again, and he worked harder than he did the day before, and he came back in the evening, and he only had 10 trees. And he went to the boss and he said, I don't understand what's going on. I have worked harder than I did the first day and I wind up with less trees. And the boss said, did you take time to sharpen your axe? I wouldn't have to say anymore. Did you take time to sharpen your axe? And I wonder if our lives have become so full of clutter, of doing good things and doing things, that we have not taken the time to make this temple a place of prayer, praise, and worship, where the axe gets sharpened and can make a difference for the kingdom of God. Are you making, am I making a difference for the kingdom of God? Or is this temple full of money changers? Is this temple all about making the next buck? Or is it a place where I can come and pray and worship and have the axe edge made sharp again? That's what I hear in this here cleansing of the temple, was that God was bringing this temple back to a place that was to honor and glorify him. And I ask you this morning, is your temple honoring and glorifying God, or is it fulfilling me, myself, and I? Because that's what was happening in the temple. Have you taken time to sharpen the axe, or are you too busy and don't have time for prayer and praise and worship? Have you taken time to sharpen the axe, or are you too busy? Have you made the temple of the Lord a place of merchants? Is your life all about making money? We have the account in the scriptures of Mary and Martha, where Jesus went to visit them. And I don't need to, you know the story well, but we have the story told there where Martha was so busy doing, stressed out, busy, doing. And she comes to Jesus and finds Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, having her axe sharpened. And Jesus rebuked Martha. And it is not that we shouldn't be busy. It is not that we shouldn't be doing good things. It is not that we shouldn't do those things. I don't believe that Jesus ever once said that. But he said that Martha, or that Mary, chose the better thing. And that was to have her axe sharpened. And then she was able to go out from that place and be effective for the kingdom of God. Are you being effective? Or do your children, do your people around you, do the people you work with, do the people that you go to school with, do the people that you live with, do they just see you just and becoming ineffective? You know, I regret. There's times that I walked out the door when one of my daughters, I walked out the door to do good things. I walked out the door to do good things when one of my daughters really needed me to stop and listen to her. That's a regret I have. Of doing too much good. If you're a parent here this morning, don't walk away with that regret. Chris shared it. Don't walk away with that regret. Stop, take the time, have your axe sharpened, because when your axe is sharpened, your children see it. The people around you see it. The people you work with see it. The people that you shop with, they see it. Your axe is sharp, and it makes a difference for the kingdom of God. But you can't do it while you're going around crazy like. Making money, exchanging money. We need to be refreshed, or the clutter will drive out the effectiveness for the kingdom of God. When Jesus entered the temple, he expected to find there people praying and praising and worshiping God. And they weren't. And so there's a righteous indignation that rose up within him. And he drove them out, the animals and the money exchangers and the tables. He dumped them over, threw the money on the floor, or dumped the money on the floor. He did that because he expected it to be a place of purity. And maybe there's someone here this morning that your temple has become cluttered with some things that are not pure, and you need to dump the tables over. You need to take radical action. You need to take radical action against what has happened within your temple so that the temple is pure and holy before God. And one of the beautiful things is that as I saw this here again, that as Jesus, while he went in and he flipped over the tables and he drove out the money changers, and it says that in it says in Matthew 21:14. So Jesus went in and did this. He went into the temple of God and drove out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. They came to him when he had cleaned up the temple. And I wonder this morning, if our ministry is our being ineffective, is there temple cleaning that needs to happen? It speaks to my heart. I know there's some temple cleaning that needs to happen, because sometimes I get uptight. Sometimes I don't feel at peace, and sometimes I don't feel like praying or worshiping or praising. You know? Are you with me? You've all been there? Doesn't feel like it. But you know what? I believe God wants us to do good beyond your feelings, because feelings are just, they are. But if you go beyond and if you confess, I can't tell you enough how willing and ready God is that if you are here today and there is sin in your life and you know the temple's not clean, you know that the temple, there are tables and stuff that need to be, there are animals that need to be driven out, there are varmints, there are things that are defiling the temple that need to be driven out. I know without a shadow of a doubt this morning, I can say to you this morning, without a doubt, God is willing, he is ready, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He is ready. And when you are ready to cleanse the temple, he will help with that. He will make it happen. But it starts with you looking in the mirror and saying, yes, I have a problem. Yes, I have a problem, and it needs to be cleansed. He wants us to pray. He wants us to put people before money. He wants the real temple that is in you to honor and glorify him. It was his righteous anger that which he used to drive out those things that were unclean. If we apply these principles to our lives, I believe we'll be full of joy and purposeful joy. Because the temple will be to the honor and glory of God. Is it this morning? How are you doing? I'm going to read one more scripture here in Matthew 15. This is a couple of pages back from where we were. Matthew 15, verses 10 through 19. 15, 10 through 19 says this, and when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. And so Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness. Man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So it's very clearly written here that it is the things that come out of our heart, it is the things that come out of that temple, if they're not pure, that's what defiles a man. And so I believe it is God's heart, again, that we're our temples, what is in the temple, what is in the heart. The Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's what comes out that defiles a man. It's what's inside. What's there? Does it need cleaning? Does the temple need cleansing? Jesus is willing to come into our heart today to cleanse our hearts, to clean our mouths, renew our minds. As we look at that list written there in the scriptures, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Has your temple been entertaining evil thoughts? Has your temple had murderous thoughts? And the Bible says, if you hate your brother, adulteries. Is there adulteries that need to be cleansed from your temple? Guys, this morning, the Bible says that if a man looks on a woman to lust on her, he has already committed adultery in his own heart. Is your temple clean? Fornicators or sexually immoral. Is your temple clean? Thefts. Have you been dishonest? Have you been stealing? Have you been paying your taxes? Or are you trying to get out of everything you can get out of? Have you been stealing from the treasury of God in tithes and offerings? Have you been giving false witness to make somebody look bad? Has there been blasphemies? Or have you spoken evil of what God has done? He wants to cleanse your heart. He wants to purify your mind. He wants the temple to be a place that honors and glorifies him. Let's stand together for a closing prayer and song. If God's speaking to you this morning, you don't ever have to wait for an altar call. You don't even have to come up front to an altar call. But if God's speaking to your heart this morning, you need to respond to him, not to me. You need to respond to him, not to me. But if God's speaking to you this morning, if the temple needs cleansing, there's no time like now. As you walk out these doors, you don't know. Will you even make it across the parking lot? Will you even walk out the door? I don't know that. You don't know that. We are a breath and a heartbeat away from eternity. Are you ready to meet God? Is your temple clean? If Jesus comes in, he will make it clean for you. So you need to invite him to do that. You need to invite him to clean the temple up. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to be able to look into the scriptures, to look into your word, and to see you for who you are. God, you're not a God with a big stick waiting to beat people up. You're a God with open arms waiting for us to repent and come to you and ask for forgiveness. If there is anyone here this morning, Lord, who has not given their heart, soul, and mind and body to you, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that right now that you would make that possible for them. Because there is no time like now, there's an urgency, Lord. I believe in the time that we're living in, there is an urgency to respond to you and to give honor to you, to make your temple a place where you can dwell in, because there are many things that you want to do through us. I believe that you want to use us, Lord, to your honor and to your glory, but we can't do it with a cluttered temple. So, Father, I'm praying for the cleaning, cleansing that only comes through the blood of Jesus. And you are willing to give. You are waiting and you are ready. And Father, we are so grateful for that. Father, I pray that Satan would be driven out, that he would be bound, that he would not be able to strike fear, that he would not be able to put doubt in a person's hearts. But the freedom we have, Lord, would be placed on every heart here today, that the freedom we have to come to you and to share our hearts with you, and you will not drive us out for that. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would protect it, that you would help it to get to the place that you want it to be, and that you would receive the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.